There's something about that song, The Blessing. Who loves that song, seriously? One of the things that's at the moment, this is actually quite profound, is that as the years start to add up, what happens is we realize that we are creatures of habit and routine. And habit and routine aren't necessarily bad things. You can have habits and routines in the Lord. And what they do is they create a point of focus and they create its own inertia or momentum. And at the moment, what happens is that there's so many changes and announcements that no one has momentum. No one has routine. And it's actually designed, and now I'm not saying all the people speaking to the microphone and the Facebook lives and the news, I'm not saying that's their design, but there's a spiritual design behind it. And when you start singing about, you know, and your children and their children, and you start to, it's actually a powerful decree, because what happens is it's very easy, where there's vision, people, where there's no vision, people cast off restraint. And it's just something, there's something so on it at the moment. And I think that I want to talk about a very interesting subject tonight. But this is one of those nights I want the Bible to speak for itself. I'm not going to anthropomorphize, which is just a normal word we throw around. I'm not going to bring God down to the level of just a mere human understanding. I want to touch on the very reality of the multiverse. Of the multiverse, okay? And so we talked about the universe, but there are black holes and they're different dimensions and it's more of a multiverse. You cannot look at the Word of God without it doing your head in. You know, this guy called Ezekiel, he was a priest in captivity. Then I looked and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud, raging, fire engulfing itself. You see whirlwinds, but they don't have fire engulfing themselves. And brightness was all around. It was radiating out of the midst like the colour of amber in the midst of the fire. And then came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. One was the likeness of a man. They had four faces, yeah, as you do, okay? And each had four wings. Their legs were straight and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the colour of burnished bronze. The hands of a man were under their wings on their four sides. And you start to see that this is Houston, we have a problem. You start to see that there's something really, really unusual. And then it actually had, each one had the face of a man, each one had the face of a lion, an ox on the left side, the lion on the right, and each had the face of an eagle. And their wings were stretched upwards and two wings that they touched each other and and two wings covered their bodies and they went straight forward and that they went wherever the Spirit went, they went wherever the Spirit wanted to go. And can you imagine all of a sudden you found yourself pulled over here and you go, where are we going? I don't know, wherever the Spirit wants us to go. And then it starts to get really crazy because this is now I looked at the living creatures and behold, a wheel was on the earth besides each living creature with its four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their workings was like the colour of beryl. Does anyone know beryl? No, I don't know. What colour is she? Okay, so, and all four had the same likeness. The appearance of their workings was as if a wheel was in the middle of a wheel. And when they moved, they went toward any one of four directions, but they did not turn aside. They had eyes all around and within. You cannot apprehend or comprehend the Word of God through the natural senses. The natural senses is a limited interface. And so rather than us, you know, like the movie Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Honey, I Shrunk the Bible, and bring it down to just our sense realm, what we have to do, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation is not taught, it is caught. This is why we need to pray in the Spirit, meditate in the Word, fast regularly, while we have to wait upon the Lord. Those who wait upon the Lord will mount up like wings of eagles. What it does, it actually opens us up to the supernatural and we start to see time, space is nothing like what we think it is in the natural world. So we're going to have to ask the Lord to help us tonight because I want the Word to speak to us and it to blow our grid. I'm very well known for, is something this or this? And the answer is yes. Because we've got these incredible data points that seem diametrically opposed to each other and yet they are two very, very real facets of the different side of the diamond. So Holy Spirit, right now, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you are blowing our mind in this season. Everything is happening quickly. Everything is happening in quick succession. Lord, we thank you. What a year this week has been. We thank you for that you are who was and is to come. And I thank you right now. Today, there's an awareness of the veil being torn. The veil being torn, and we thank you for our eyes being open. So Lord, right now, we break all religious filters, all limiting filters, all carnal filters, and we thank you for blowing our mind tonight. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Okay, there we go. I don't need a Snickers, I'm just excited. All right, so what have we got here? There we go, came back. Now, I want you to say this after me. Lord, Lord, I thank you that I am amazing. I thank you that I am amazing because you say so. In Jesus' name. I don't think we really understand who we are. And tonight we're going to go a little bit into that because there are certain things, you know, the way we see things actually affects how it manifests. So I'm not just up here, I'm not peddling dogma. I am not just sort of like, you know, anointed rhetoric. I need to partner with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, sharper than a two-edged sword, to actually pierce conscience, people's conscience, okay? Their consciousness, their sense of their ontology, their sense of reality. And we need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. And, you know, I can get up here and I can tell some funny jokes and stuff, but I'm not here to impart personality. I just thank the Lord that His Word does not return void. It doesn't return void. Now, we have been doing a series and we're going to continue that tonight, but I want you to get excited about the multiverse is closer than you understand. And so we need to actually break out of the Old Testament, I love the Old Testament, right, in regards to what it brought, but there's an old covenant mentality that everything is physical and external. And in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven doesn't come with observation, for the kingdom of heaven is within you. When you start to realize that, you're going, hang on, the kingdom of heaven's a big place and I'm just a little person. We actually start to limit the Lord. The mystery that's been hidden for ages and generations has now been revealed to us, that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we start to do that, it just doesn't make five senses. Okay, that sense realm. So what we're going to do, I'm going to start by reading from, this is the Now book. Look at the news, man. Look at the news. You know, today I had to share a little video clip to people of The Simpsons. Right, The Simpsons. And this clip would have been at least 12 years old, and it was about about problems with the electronic voting machines. Yeah, exactly. So remember, there was one episode where Trump's coming down the elevator and he's nominating as president. And then there's one of a coronavirus coming from Asia and the cough and it goes into a box. Who's seen that one? Then it's got the little swirly, germy thing. It looked like a pizza box. Anyway, so... rumor has it. And hashtag a rumor is enough. And so something's gone wrong with this voting machine. It's pretty out there. But there's so much happening so quickly. And it's like getting whiplash. If you have a look at like developments in February to now, our mindsets, you know, I didn't share this on Sunday, but as I was talking about before, I've been chatting with people because of constant changes. You know, I feel sorry for people who've bought. Now, you go, okay, thanks, Todd, for indulging in people's first world problem. I understand, you know, some of the things I'll discuss. But people who have actually booked to actually do conferences interstate. I know someone who booked to speak at a conference three times to Queensland and three times cancelled. And what you have is, and then you've just got end of year stuff, and everything's up in the air, and you go, well, that's a first world problem. Well, I'll tell you what's interesting is this, is that most people create a point of focus to look towards. And somehow, if you can see something, you can head towards it and you can overcome things a lot easier. But at the moment, people's point of focus is constantly being changed and shifted. And it says in Daniel chapter 7, the little horn waged war on the saints, spoke boastful, pompous words, and in the Chaldean language, it said he wore them down. And so there is a reality, is be aware that a spiritual strategy, and I'm not saying that people, you know, doing the announcements and this, that and the other, they might, you know, I mean, you know, I won't postulate what their particular role is in this big meta narrative, but what you have is that there's a constant breaking down of focus and vision and momentum, and it wears people down. It wears people down, and so we have to be aware of that. Now, my father was in the Navy, and, you know, people have this, you know, like I know Pierre loves the ocean and people love sailing, and you know, I think, gee, my dad would love the ocean. And I go, what, you like the ocean? Like, he goes, I hate it. Hate it. He said, the amount of times you'd get seasick. All right, who's ever got seasick before? Seriously, oh my goodness. I would say, apart from Drake's Passage, the most treacherous body of water would between Fleuro Peninsula and Kangaroo Island, Backstairs Passage. Who's ever done that? The Sea Link. And you're like, oh my goodness. It doesn't matter, doesn't matter what you've eaten. Yeah. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. So it's like we're talking like, I remember, I think I went with Phil Jericho years ago, and it's sort of like, we're going, is this some sort of bad ride at the show? I'd rather be on the Mad Mouse, you know, the Zipper or something. Oh yeah, by the way, yesterday was the worst weather we've had in 12 months. So I remember just lying down and feeling so sorry for myself. But my dad was saying, he said, it's different for everybody. He said, because my father probably sailed around the ocean, okay, in the bathtub with a little pretend boat. No, he sailed around the world two or three times by the time he was out of his teens. I think he joined the Navy when he was 15. You go, gosh, that's young. It's child abuse. Did you know that, like, Napoleonic Wars and stuff, they had kids as young as 10, 11, 12? Okay, all right, hashtag precious. And so, sort of like, Mom, I'm bored. Go to war. And so... And so it, like, it really crazy. And so he was in the Navy from, I think, age 15. And so he got an education. And it's one of the better things is that the boat's doing all of this, all right? And he said, fix your eyes on that fixed point of the horizon. Fix your eyes. And it's one of the better things. I mean, like, I'm married to someone with the worst motion sickness in the world. She needs deliverance. To the point where if I'm one of these terrible drivers. No, I'm a great driver. I'm a great driver. Yeah, seriously, I have not had an accident since I wasn't looking when I was 16. Okay, that's a few moons ago. Now, I had the odd speeding fine, don't get me wrong, but I'm, you know, pretty good depth perception and whatnot. And I just get bored. I hate sitting in traffic. Who hates sitting in traffic? Oh, I hate it. So I'm one of these guys that likes to cut off the road and take side streets. Okay? Okay, some of you have different reasons for that. But I prefer the scenery. But my wife doesn't appreciate it. And she can go around one roundabout at Decatur Terrace and she's you think she's in Drake's Passage. And so this is actually a thing, but people actually lose their focus. They lose their focus, and we actually, what we have to do now is that there's so much change happening. So much change, you'd be aware now that that commandant Joyce is basically with Qantas now, you won't be able to fly. I think there's 58 airlines now that you're going to have your little digital certificates and so on and so forth. Like what we're talking, this is a whole new time. Who knows? Everything's changing so quickly. So now what we've got to do, rather than just our old soulish points of focus, like never before, we have to fix our eyes on the one thing that does not change. He says, I am the Lord and I changeth not. Okay. King James for added emphasis. And so basically, and it just sounds more dramatic. And so we really have to, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. This is something so massive, but there's so much change taking place all the time. And that's why we have to get into focusing on Him, who He is in the Word, especially worship. And, you know, we had the pretty epic time when the whole, pretty much most of the world, corporate worship shut down. And that's the tabernacle of David. The tabernacle of David is connected to affecting the spirit realm, opening the heavens and the great harvest. So this is a lot more significant than just sort of like, you know, I mean, in California, you know, you can't have church, but you go to a strip house, you can get your pot and what else? And obviously your alcohol and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it's just, we're talking, this is a really bad joke. Okay. We're talking crazy stuff. And anyway, before I incite too much civil insurrection, what we're going to do, you know, I do like doing it though. So so we're going to start by reading, continuing on our series, the New Jerusalem. We're going to start with Revelation 21, and then we're going to just skip around chapter 21. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls. So angels have different portfolios and can multitask, okay? Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. What a city. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Going down. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. People were having dreams about transparent. Who's had dreams about transparent glass? Things made of transparent glass. Here's a number of people. Isn't that amazing? It'd be interesting. When you had that dream, this is just like see through, or you felt it was gold? Anyone feel it was gold? Yeah. Okay. That's pretty cool. Because in the last days I put on my spirit and all flesh. So we should. This is part of the course. We should expect it. So, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. I saw no temple in it. So here's this incredible city coming down out of heaven, a great high mountain, and I saw no temple. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. So there's no temple, but it says the Lord and the Lamb is its temple. This is profound. The city had no need for the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Now, what's fascinating is we have to let the Word speak. And, you know, according to levels of hermeneutics, I mean, there's obviously, we have filters and we have biases and we need the Holy Spirit. But you've got this incredible city coming down. And you're going, wow, the epicenter. Can you imagine the temple in the middle? You know, because we see the temple is such a focus of Old Testament worship and engagement. And so it's just coming down and you're going, its walls made of jasper and it's transparent glass everywhere and the glory of God. And I was on a great and high mountain and 12 foundation stones. I mean, 12 gates made of pearl. You know, it wasn't like all these little, it wasn't like, you know, we just, there was a bit of a collection and we went to all the, you know, the high society women and got their necklaces and then just all these pearls, just one single pearl. One single, just incredible pearl. And so you're seeing it and you're going, wow. And so you're trying to work out, as this whole revelation is ascending, is climbing, is coming to a crescendo, and you're going, wow, where's this temple? And then it says, there is no temple. Because you had the tent made of badger skin, okay, the tabernacle. And that's the incredible detail, because Moses went on quite the diet, okay, and to get all those details. And God says, make sure you build it exactly how I show you, because there's a number of reasons. There's divine wisdom, but it tells a picture. And Paul says, well, I won't jump ahead of myself. And so you've got the tabernacle. But then you've got David. I like David. And you get some super spiritual, I like Jesus. I mean, I hear what you're saying, all right. So, you know, all right. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Anyway, get healed. So then you have Solomon's temple. What crazy, crazy stuff. So it was so crazy that the Temple Mount is that they had to go to a quarry away and actually cut the stones, because you couldn't be like, ting, ting, like it would affect the vibration of construction. The quantum vibration of construction would actually affect the atmosphere of that holy place. You start to see in this, you see connections. When Jacob put his head down, and I think Luz, I think it's called, in that area, and he's gone into this sleep, and next thing you know, he's freaked out because he sees angels ascending and descending, and it's Jacob's ladder, and he says, surely, he said, this is the house of God, Bethel, and going up to the gates of heaven. And there would have been angels ascending and descending, and they believe it's actually the site of the Temple Mount. So can you imagine, you're seeing in the spirit. Now, what we do is we tend to, honey, I shrunk the supernatural, okay? And you got this, like this, we call it Jacob's ladder. And so you see this sort of like, you know, this ladder, we see this like boring old ladder. You know, we've all got ladders. All right, you got the ones that you got the ones that just sort of lean against something. You got the ones that do this, and you go, yeah. So let's this ladder, okay? So angels ascending, descending, you know, doing this, and they like double up. The one on the other side, you know, they touch it. Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, no, one going up, one coming down. There's possibly a better way to see that. It's probably more indicative that it is like a spiral staircase, as was in Solomon's temple. A spiral staircase, which sort of looks like DNA. So there's angels going up like a double helix and angels coming down. So think of it like this. We've sung this many times and we can take it for granted. It says the praises go up, the glory comes down. You think about the Temple Mount, you think about all the incense. Always got to be careful how you say that. Going up. We've had people pray that in groups and just mispronounce it, and boy, did the laughter of the Holy Ghost break out. And... that's it. No gene pool jokes here. So anyway, so basically, is that you can imagine is that their place of prayer and worship. So the angels take what you do when you praise God. It's a substance that's taken, and it's taken up to the Lord and actually presented to Him. You're not just singing sort of like, amen, amen. You know what I'm saying? You actually get that sense of just, I love you, Lord. I'm praising you as best I can in spirit and in truth. What happens? That creates an invisible substance. An angel takes it and presents it before the Lord. It talks about the bowls being full. It talks about the incense is the prayer of the saints. And seriously, I'm just all of a sudden, you know, you nearly went to Freudian slip where you say one thing but really mean another. So basically, is that, and so you can imagine like God didn't delight in the killing of goats and bulls and lambs. He didn't delight in that. It actually says that. He didn't delight in it, obviously the Day of Atonement. But what happened is that people put their hearts in that sacrifice because they put something generally without spot or blemish before it got too corrupted. And then the angels would take that and they'd bring that up, and then you'd have prayers coming down, glory coming down. When you understand how awesome that is, and that the site of the temple, everything's concentrated around that temple. And so it's just magnificent. And just the way it was meant to, it was multidimensional. And, you know, you definitely, I mean, they learned the hard way, didn't they? You know, offering up strange fire doesn't, I don't care who your parents are, mate. You're, and so this is incredible protocols that actually spelt things out for us. It was actually for our benefit, and to whom the ends of the ages have come. So you see that this incredible focus around the temple, and you're just looking at, and then you got Solomon's temple, then you got, then it had a reno. It got rebuilt with Zerubbabel. And it got rebuilt, and then it got a renovation through Herod. And so this is magnificent, to the point where there was a gate, all right, this gate was so beautiful that they called it beautiful. Okay, so this incredible deal with the temple, and you just like everyone's just in awe. So and so what's happened now is they've brought the focus of God to a geographical location. So as real as it was, and it was the protocol. It was because it was the ability for God to dwell with men. And David's going, you know what? It's not right. I lived in this flipping amazing palace, and God, you're living in a tent. I want to set my heart to build a house for you. God was very moved. And so then the promise was for it to go to his bloodline, and that God would establish David's offspring or a seed forever. I mean, can you imagine? God's just, wow. That was everything then. At the moment, it's not, we have different values, but the value then was generativity, legacy. And it still is. I mean, regardless if you have children or not, you sow into people, and then they continue that generativity, that legacy. It's very, very true. So this is the mentality. Now you have the New Jerusalem, and it's like, where's the temple? And it says, the Lord is the temple and the Lamb is the temple. And you just go, and it gets freakier. There's no sun. There's no sun. And there's no moon. And so this is pretty cosmic stuff. And so I don't know who I was sharing with today or the other day. I've read Revelation. I've been in the Lord decades. I've read Revelation and studied it more this year than all my other years combined. I just feel it's just so current. So current. My theology was more based around cycles. And that's, you can still see that, even if it's having a hamburger in lockdown 8 months apart, cycles are real. Lunar cycles, it's real. But what happens is there was a level of something that was unresolved. Well, it's not unresolved anymore. I'm convinced we are in the last days. Who's the same? Seriously. You can't, otherwise, you know, you're probably in a spiritual coma. Because if you were to have a look at the frequency of paradigm shifts, changes and announcements on a societal level, the concentration that's happening now, that they talk about like the wave, you've got the frequency of something is measured by the distance between the top of the wave and the trough, but now it's more concentrated. It's like, before it'd be like this, okay? Not much changes, and now it's like this. It really, really is crazy. So Jesus started to make things easy for us because he changed that paradigm. And when Jesus was hanging out with the 12 disciples, that was still under the old covenant, in case you were wondering. Because we're going to read the New Testament. And it's true, it's the synoptic gospels, it's the narrative, but it's still under the old covenant. Because he's always, you know, having these interesting conversations with the Pharisees. So what happens is Jesus said stuff because he was born, he came from above. He came from above. He's our prototype. And when we say yes to him, we get born from above. So he came down. And in John chapter 2:19-22, Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years for this reno. And you'll raise it up in 3 days." Talk about the block on steroids. And so, but he was speaking of the temple of his body. He was actually bringing a paradigm shift. "Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." So you start to, all of a sudden, Jesus brought in the mentality going, I'm going to, if you destroy this temple, I'm going to raise it up in 3 days. Instantly they go, 3 days, then compared to 46 times 365. Like, what are you talking about? And they're just saying, gosh, he just says crazy things. You know, in case you're wondering, Jesus' ministry was not designed for bums on seats. He didn't dumb down the message. Can you imagine? Seriously, you're hanging out with him, and you're in awe. Because there was no sort of agape, it was like brotherly love, filio love, and you'd be sort of like you'd say one of the disciples, and sometimes you'd be in so, you've got like a man crush. You know, he's amazing, and he's smart and funny and like this. And then you're having a bad day, you know, because you're just a bit depressed or something. And so you still love the Lord, but you're not feeling it as much, right? And then all of a sudden, miracles like this, and people's trying to touch the hem of his garment like this, and Jesus walking through like this, and you're on his staff. You're sort of like, you know, after a while, I mean, because we're talking natural man here. And then all of a sudden, it's sort of like, and people go, hey, could you get me an appointment with him? Seriously, I've got like, you know, this special thing I don't want to talk about. And if you, I like this, I go, oh, I'll see what I can do. Like this, you know, and then, and all of a sudden, after a while, these disciples would be walking around like peacocks with two sets of tail feathers. And you're going, this is ain't a bad gig, you know. He's raising the dead, he's doing miracles. I mean, come on. Who's ever heard of someone, you know, open the eyes of a blind from birth? This is incredible. And so all of a sudden, they're building the success of the kingdom of God manifesting through Jesus into their identity. And then just when their ego is front and center, Jesus goes, okay, eat my flesh, drink my blood. And they're like, huh? But there, like, what? Yeah, yeah. My blood is drink indeed, and my flesh is food indeed. Well, yeah, what is he saying? You know? And everyone's sort of like, all of a sudden, like they'd be sort of standing by, some be looking at Jesus, some be standing behind him like this, and all of a sudden they're just gauging everyone's face, their reaction like this, and eat my flesh, drink my blood. These are Jews. It's unclean. You know. And unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Like this. And going, I was like, oh, talking to his brother. I was about to follow him too. We got to get out of here. All right. You know, there's a, you know, a matinee on. There's a stoning down the road. So anyway, basically, are there any women here? No. Basically, is that we're talking crazy stuff. And then he keeps talking about, if you destroy this temple, I'll raise up in 3 days. And that was a bit sort of like, not quite as bad, but still not happy, you know. And you've got to put yourself in their shoes. And he starts talking about this. And a lot of these were seeds sown. Because Jesus said a lot of things that they never understood. And there would have been, and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He's talking about bread, isn't he? Talking about bread like this. And so the Lord gave him so much stuff that it wasn't until the Holy Ghost, you know, received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Oh, that what he meant. Oh, stupid, you know. And so it took a while for the penny to drop. And so Jesus now saying, he goes, you know, this temple's magnificent, but destroy this temple and three days I'll raise it up. So a massive paradigm was starting to shift. Because we take it for granted, because we've sort of read the back of the book, we go, yeah, we know better. But think about what, they had the advantage of actually being there. All right, we have the advantage of the Holy Ghost, you know, Jesus without limitations, to be honest. But the mentality would have been so limiting, and Jesus saying, we're going to change this now. Even the woman goes, we worship on this mountain, you know, and Jesus says, salvation is of the Jews. He said, you know, we worship in Jerusalem. He said, but there's coming a time, it won't be about the mountain. It says those who worship the Father worship in spirit and in truth, and he actually deconstructs the whole geographic locational reality. So the temple, I mean, so the New Jerusalem's coming down, there's no temple in it, but the Lord is its temple and the Lamb is its temple. This is really cool. Because what happens, unless we drill down on this, it's hidden in plain sight, and you can really go, yeah, I know that. No, we don't know it until... So then it starts, this theme starts to develop. Now, the reason I got you to confess that you're amazing because God says you are is because we defer a lot of things that God says about us. And we actually look at ourselves through an utterly wrong filter. Now, I am not promoting narcissism or, you know, pumping up egos and egoettes, right? But we've actually got to ascribe to God's perception and God's way of seeing us. This is very, very important because actually at the end of the day, it isn't about you or I. It isn't. So when we start to drill down on what Jesus has said, if we can just read 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20, it says, Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? I mean, this is, you know, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So you are not your own. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yes. But it says you're not your own. You know, it's a bit like this. If my people who are called by my name, right, if they will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, they don't mince words, you know. If God's people will humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, repent, seek his face, then he will heal their land, forgive their sins. So we got a lot of people calling out to the Lord, but are they turning from their ways? See, that prayer is nullified. You can just pray with a whole bunch of people for years, but if we do not turn from our own ways, it nullifies the prayer. So it's good to say that your physical body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, but the key part there is that you do not belong to yourself. This is why covenant is so powerful, because covenant is, the more you look at covenant, the more you should become secure. We don't have a covenant mentality. We have a Western mentality. But covenant mentality is this. Basically, is that the Lord says, everything I have is yours, son, daughter, everything. You're like, wow, I knew I loved the prosperity gospel. So he says, everything, he says, yours. Seriously, scripture after scripture. But he says, also too, everything you have is mine. And that's the part we suck at. Because you can't be excited about, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, wow, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and you're not your own. Hey, wait, what? How did that happen? You were bought with a price. And then you start to see, because if we see ourselves through our own mentality, we're bought at a price, you go, I wonder if the Lord overcapitalized. You know, and that's actually something very important. I love the fact that the things have market value at the moment. Real estate, weirdly enough, is going up. Who's found that weird? It's a seller's market. I wouldn't have thought that. You know, I would have thought, you know, you got to put your house in market. Your mentality is that I'm getting out of here, you know. And so I just want to, like, you know, cash in my chips. I'm done. But you go, this is what a house is worth. And you can, that's great. But you know what? Something is only worth what someone's prepared to pay for it. We all have people, we have appraisals and this and that. There's a whole thing around appraisals and we had it valued. And now then we build this invisible value based on someone's opinion, informed opinion, but it's still an opinion. And something's actually only worth what someone's prepared to pay for it. So then when you start to see that, it actually says you're not your own. Not because you're in some sort of weird Buddhist void of nothingness, cycling continually into some sort of utopia, nirvana that's sort of like, I'm just going to keep deactualizing. It's nothing, none of that sort of stuff. It's actually, the fact is that you were bought with the most precious material, the most precious substance in the multiverse. That's what you're worth. And then when we renew our mind, we actually start to realign our internal world, our sense of reality, to what God says we're worth. And you actually can't put a price on one person. That should blow your mind. So it says that you are You are the temple of the Holy Spirit and you're not your own. I used to sing that song, you know, and you just feel, yeah, I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. Who remember singing that song? Yeah, good old emotional altar call. And oh, I've been bad, you know. And all of a sudden, you know, you lay it down for 24 hours. And so basically it was just youth group stuff, youth group talk. And so so this is like, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you're like, talk about limiting beliefs, Lord. I actually don't think we understand. No. Why did I even say that? We don't understand. The Spirit of glory and revelation, the sevenfold Spirit of God says you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, renewing the mind is actually starting to come into alignment with you go, wait, what? That actually your body doesn't belong to you. You're a steward of something that belongs to someone else. You're not your own. And these are keys. You go, what is the key for the Holy Spirit manifesting in this temple? Here's a key, you're not your own. And you go, okay, yeah, I know that theologically. Well, do we know it experientially? I mean, we have days off. What do I feel like doing today? And it's just a mentality. But there's a key that when we change how we think that we're not our own, we will start to see God manifest in this body. These are all keys hidden in plain sight. And so this is where it gets, making altitude here. Next scripture is 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. So that we see a word that quite often is translated tabernacle. Tabernacle is to dwell. So now, this is actually mind-blowing because you go, is this theology or is it semantics or is it mysticism? This is what's so crazy about it. When we start to change what we focus on and how we think, then it brings things into manifestation. And God says they're the temple. He said, I will dwell amongst them and walk with them. So now you've got this incredible deal going on where Jesus said, destroy this temple in three days and I'll raise it. And they're going, the reno took 46 years. Then now Paul says, actually, did you know that you're not your own, that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? Then you've got here, it says, because God wants to dwell in you and walk amongst you and be your God. And you will be his people. And you start to go, whoa, this doesn't feel like church, because it's not church. This is not church. This is reality. Now, church is not reality. Church is an expression of a governmental function called the ecclesia. This is actually a supernatural, organic reality that has to be faith activated. But it is. So you're not going to make yourself more the temple of God any more than what you already are. We actually have to engage with what is for it to manifest who was and is and is to come. And so he wants to dwell and walk. And so any time, yes, there may be some devils slapping you around between, you know, breakfast and brunch, between brunch and lunch, lunch and dinner and dinner, okay? And so you go, but oh, that's real. Yeah. But it's actually been empowered or accommodated by unbelief. And it's a construct. God's out there. I thought Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is God out there or is God in here? Yes. Remember that song, Lord, don't pass me by. I want your glory to pass me by. He's in you. And some people say, you know, that's why we bow our heads when we say grace, because you.
Thank you for this prayer.
Okay. So this is just so profound, and Jesus walks in the synagogue, and everyone's like, opens up the scroll, You know, and then all of a sudden, people, and all of a sudden, like this, and the demons are going, dang, it's the Son of God, don't torment us before the time. Now, if you start to develop your consciousness that Jesus lives inside of you, because he says he does, what happens, that focus will bring it into manifestation. It might take time, but angels recognize it. Can you imagine how frustrated they must be? It's God dwelling in them, and they're looking at how you live your day. Don't say that again. Don't do that. Please do that, but don't do that. And this is God. And we're in this paradigm, these veils. These veils that some things are, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? And so he says, I am their God. So then you start to see how hectic this is, because it's a multiverse, right? But then you go down further and it says, so individually, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And then it says in 1 Peter 2:5, you also corporately, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So corporately, individually, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Corporately, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is amazing. Living stones, living stones. I haven't drilled down on that subject, but you got the fiery stones in the Mount of Assembly. The anointed cherub that covered, he's now uncovered. Basically, you know, look down and he'd be a profane thing. Is this the man that weakened the nations? Like, seriously. They're living stones. You've got the different stones on the breastplate of the high priest. It represents that God carries you in his heart. Living stones. And we've been built together as living stones corporately, individually and corporately. You start to study down on that. See, God's bringing us, this isn't like deep revelation. This is just revelation. This is just 101 stuff, as it is in heaven, hey? And so we're being built together, but then we've got the next one, Ephesians 2:20-22, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Don't know, my back hurts. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you're also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So when we keep going, it's over there somewhere, here it is, there it is, and God says, you're missing it. Your unbelief is putting veil after veil after veil, because you're almost reading it through a lens of Moses. This is amazing. This New Jerusalem stuff is amazing. Because what you have now is you got corporately, you actually have, this is gonna get hectic, okay? So you've seen this incredible city prepared as a bride for a husband. I went to a great and high mountain, and it's incredible hyperbolic language. It's not hyperbolic language. It's actually just like understating it. And then it's like, wow, where's the temple? The Lord is its temple, and so is the Lamb, and so is his people. And you're going, whoa. And this is really freaky. So do we become the temple when we go there? Or now? And this is why we cannot keep pushing things into a future event of unbelief, because we refuse to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And it starts, and there are keys. One key is that you're not your own. When you get self-obsessed in isolation, you cut God out. When you realize this is such a big deal. There is a war over your body. There's a war. There's a war. And I'm not talking about like diet and exercise. I mean, that's the thing. And since Paul says, you know, bodily exercise profits a bit, you know. And now we're in the Western Greek culture. We're just obsessed with form. And you can be like look like, you know, amazing muscles on your muscles, but you're a total loser. That's not an uncommon phenomenon. So basically, no, seriously, is it basically right now there's something taking place in the spirit, but there's a war. See, what happens is this. God needs your body. See, once you die and you put off this temple or this tent, as he says, put off this clothing, put off this tent, okay? As the Lord showed me, Peter said that, Paul said that. And so What you got is you become part of the cloud of witnesses, but your influence in this physical plane is greatly diminished. That's why there's a war over our bodies. I've had intense warfare over my body, intense. You know, sometimes like this. And what happens is the enemy wants to take people out because he doesn't want your influence. You are a connection between heaven and earth. It's not some sort of abstract prayer reality. You're the connection. Because it says you were raised up with Christ in him, you're seated with him, but you're physically here. You're the one. You're the one. If you can imagine, sort of like there's the heavenly dimension, you're on the earth, and you actually have the ability to pull that in. Don't wait for some other time when we keep deferring stuff and it's now faith is that that's what you are. That's why that your body is a gift. It actually says in the volume of your book, it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O God. He says, a body you've prepared for me. And so this is why this is so profound. Now, he's the Lord our healer. Gene pools get mutated, people get born with stuff and bloodlines and all sorts of stuff, and that's why he's the Lord our healer. But this is actually profound. That's why there's so much warfare over physical bodies, because you get to live in at least two dimensions. But if you just sort of like, oh, I hate my body like this, bang, you disqualify yourself through your unbelief and your confession. Because the Lord needs, he needs it, because it's the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you start to see this stuff. It's really, really cool. You know, I've got some weird testimonies, but they're weird because the people don't understand them. I understand them to a point. You know, I can't transform myself. I can't. I can make wise decisions. I know how I was raised, right? Sometimes it feels like I buy a pack of hungry wolves in the forest, but I know how I was raised, right? And I've had to overcome a fair bit. But I know that if I take care of hanging out with the Lord and worshiping him and actually feeding on his faithfulness in his word, what that does, that gives me the best possible grace to make right decisions. We don't always make right decisions, but it gives me the best possible grace of feeding on that. Now, this is what I've worked out. Okay, this is actually really cool. I can't make the Lord give me encounters. I can't. You go, oh, give me an encounter. He might give you one, but it just might be an encounter that you don't understand. I've had crazy encounters. See, I can't make the Lord touch me. I can't make the Lord give me a vision. I can't. Now I can ask for it, but you know, I'm not, you know, sitting there like this. I tell you what I can do all the time. I can think about him, meditate on him, get in his word. Anytime. So when you lean into that, you then become inclined to encounters. So the encounters I have, I'm actually almost not responsible for. They just happen. You know, it's like if I get in my car and drive down Augusta Street, I'm going to see trees. Did you make those trees happen? No, they're just there. So I remember I was like, I mean, you know, just recently, I just like, well, this was 2 nights ago. And we've got gutters that need cleaning. Who knows what I'm talking about? And because the pitch of the roof is a certain way, that if we don't clean the gutters, the water backwashes and then you get these stains in the ceiling because you're naughty and lazy. So then I'm going, yep, we're going to get up on that roof, because everyone loves getting on the roof. So fun, right? And then you go, and then you're looking at the forecast. Yeah, right. Yep, it's going to be showers. Be shower Sunday, so all right, cool. And so what I'll do is I will wait till just before I think it's going to rain. So what happens is I go to sleep and my spirit gets up on the roof and I'm like, oh man, what am I, oh, like this. And then that was the night it was lightning everywhere and I go, I am not dying for dirty gutters. Seriously, I was completely conscious of it. And I didn't sort of like, you know, I don't do this like sleep ladder climb type deal, right? You know, I mean, even if there's a few, you know, Jacob's ladders around my place. But basically, seriously, there was one night where I just went, okay, I had just relaxed. Rachel, we did got a cheese board, you know, and blessed are the cheese makers. And that, you know, you can have too much of a good thing. I found that out. You know, something so nice, it repeats on you because you just don't want to have it once. And so, you know, with all the nice cured meats and the prosciutto and all the strong, who likes all the real strong cheeses like this? Okay, all right. Who's five? No, kidding. And so basically, in the pecorino and all these beautiful cheeses, a provolone and all that sort of stuff. And anyway, we had one of those nights and just relaxing. And then the next day I went, okay, something weird happened. Something weird happened. I remember I never got out of bed and I walked through the house and I'm looking at my kids. Yep, they're good. Yep, yep, yep. I remember walking around my property, like vivid. It wasn't a dream, vivid. And I'm going, okay, things are getting really weird. And then this was a Monday night. And as it turns out, well, I didn't know. I wasn't really following the Jewish calendar back in the day. And it was Rosh Hashanah. Okay? And so there's a home group on the other side of town having communion Rosh Hashanah. And what happened is that I walked in the meeting. I walked in the meeting and I looked at someone and I go, and like this, like that. And then I just went to, I think, to hang out with a jacket. I think it was winter, it was cold, maybe unseasonably cold. And like that, and then they went to start the meeting. Go, hang on, no, just wait for Todd. He just walked in. Like, no, he didn't. He's not, like, no, he walked in. I said, can we just wait? He's probably just gone behind there. And so they're waiting for me because this guy saw me. And then now they're playing Where's Wally? Because it's like over 5 minutes have gone. What's he doing? Is he like doing some weeding in the backyard or something? And so, so you go, well, that's pretty weird. But remember, I woke up and I knew I went somewhere. And this stuff was so normal. They're saying, well, gee, God, deliver Peter from jail. Deliver him from jail. Like this. Praying. Like this. And then sort of, you know, instead of like, shh, this might be the Romans. Okay. And sort of like, now I'm telling Jesus, like this. And a servant girl goes, whoa, it's Peter. Then she closed the door on him. She goes, Peter's at the door. And you know, you go, yeah, it says angel. That's how normal it was. That's how normal it was. And so this sort of stuff happens. This is what I witnessed. I've had way crazy stuff like that, but that's entry level 101. Now, I don't ask to have it. I've been in places, I've been up in a roof or been in a ceiling and I'm hearing conversations, but they're actually thoughts. I don't ask for that. You know, see, if you get into the Word, you get transformed. But if you ask for encounter, it actually says in Ecclesiastes, with much knowledge and much wisdom comes much sorrow. Because you actually got to navigate the spiritual world and not all of it's good. Because you start to sin in someone's heart. It's like, you know. And so this is why this is so important, because there's a war over your body and you have to, you know, crazy nuns. I'm not talking about Sally Field's flying ones, none the wiser. I'm not talking about that one. Right, we're talking like these dedicated to serving the Lord. And so what would happen is they get into prayer, then at night, they literally, their body, I don't even know how this works. They would go across to North America. They'd be in Europe and they'd go and they'd evangelize the Native Americans. Full deal. Preach, lay hands, healing, miracles, baptism of spirit souls. Then they go, then one of these says, okay, a few years later, we're going to get on a boat. We're going to go over there. And they go, yeah, we know you. You're like, what? This stuff happens. Your body is amazing and God needs it. So you go, I know a bunch of you, I'm not going to do the usual Morgan Gallup poll, but a lot of you go somewhere at night. Wouldn't it be interesting to stand before Jesus, you actually got rewarded for that stuff? I don't know. We're allowed to postulate some, you know, process and who's enjoying this seriously? So this stuff, but God needs your body. And you need to focus on His Word. This is really, really cool. So then you go, okay, so now I'm doing possibility thinking, /, preaching. So we have, Jesus said this, His body's the temple. Then He says, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now you're not your own, And this is really important. And I don't put this one up. I just want to, this is very, very important that, that it actually says, and yeah, don't put it up because I want to cut it in half and I'll just do it on my own privilege. It actually says, the body's not for immorality, but for the Lord. The body, your body is for the Lord and the Lord is for the body. So your body does not exist without the Lord. So when you give, you go, Jesus, this is your temple. What happens, you realize the Lord is for the body. And if we get that right, who knows what's going to happen with all the bureaucratic decisions that are being made on behalf of our bodies. See, your body actually doesn't belong to you. That is the major key to unlocking the glory in and around your temple. And you start to go, wow, so my body is for the Lord and the Lord is for my body. When you do that exchange, I believe we can see supernatural weight loss if that's the deal. Life extension. This is actually something so now, this just coming, I know I had to speak on this. I know I had to speak on this. And I want to exercise. I mean, I've been really slack with exercise. I mean, fact of life. But to obsess over it at the expense of spiritual life, we're talking about, you know, forgetting, not eating spiritual meat and then eating rubbish. But we're talking that your body cannot exist without the Lord. And then when we have a consciousness of that He's separate, and you go, no, Jesus, I made that body. And if you want to heal it, get it healed and some improvements, fine. This is the Word of God. Who loves this? Seriously. But it belongs to Him. And you're not your own. You're not your own. So the excessive pride of your body and the excessive shame. And the excessive works program. And it says exercise profits a little bit. It really does. You know, there's some things that we're walking, you know. Can you imagine you live opposite a service station. It's across the road, the servo's across the road, and you need to get some milk, get in the car. Walk, okay? And this is such a now thing because there's a war over the bodies of the earth. If the enemy can just snuff out lives, it's another body. Or remove them before they have a chance to pop into the world. It's a war over bodies. It's massive, massive. And so you go, okay, so what we've seen so far is this magnificent New Jerusalem. It's coming out of heaven like a bride prepared for her husband and a great high mountain, incredible panoramic scenery. And yet there's the God's the temple and the Lamb is the temple and we're the temple corporately and individually. I don't even know how that works, but that's what the Word of God says. So you've got this, there's no temple outside of what the Lord's shown. But then you got in Revelation, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, if you walk with the Lord, He says, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and in the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. You go, hang on, there's no temple. The Lamb's the temple, God's the temple, and we're the temple, but now it says he will make you a pillar in the temple. Whoa, what's happening here? I just want to be crystal clear. The New Jerusalem comes out of heaven. The New Jerusalem is not in heaven. So you are looking at the perfect convergence, the manifest glory and wisdom of God. What is the mind of Jesus? It's the sevenfold Spirit of God. So in its fullness, right? And you've got that God dwelling amongst his people on the earth is the New Jerusalem. And then it says, if you walk and if you overcome, you'll be a pillar. Whoa, this is getting crazy. Now I'm going to jump ahead and, hey, indulge me. If you want to put in Revelation 11, 1 and 19. This is the two witnesses, the two olive trees. Pretty hectic stuff, pretty dramatic. So now we've got the New Jerusalem coming down, no temple but God and the Lamb, which is amazing. I mean, it's God, hello, right? And then we're the temple. But then it says, if you overcome, you'll be a pillar in the temple. But here in Revelation 11, and it's very cosmic, then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. I'm confused. And he goes right down, then he goes right down to the end of Revelation 11, and then back by popular demand, then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the Ark of His Covenant was seen in His great temple. But I thought some archaeologist discovered it under the Temple Mount and the blood, whatever. And so, and there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, and earthquake, and great hail. So now what we have, this is so cool, the multiverse. The multiverse. Okay. Who believes that there are different dimensions in eternity? Can we put it up? Yeah, like this. Okay. Who thinks it's possible that God can manifest in every single dimension? Hello. Who believes they're made in God's image? Exactly. This has become a rhetorical question. It's almost like an auction. So basically, you start going, wow, wow, wow. So there'll be people who'll be able to have freedom of movement between different dimensions. Because the New Jerusalem is actually heaven manifests on the earth. It's a perfect square. Well, we know the outline is a perfect square. There's conjecture. We've talked about it already. Conjecture is that there's a pyramid, but other translations say it's a cube. Then I would say I like that because the Holy Holies is a cube. You start to realize the incredible, if you steward your body for the glory of God, you will be a pillar in His temple in heaven. I want to submit to you that the people in higher dimensions can effortlessly move to other dimensions. 1 Corinthians, I think it's 15, it says, as is one glory of the stars, one glory of the moon, one glory of the sun, all different in brightness or glory, so will it be in the resurrection. You start to see this is happening now. This is happening now. This is happening now. And this is, who's excited about all this? Seriously. Be in awe that God chose you to be a connection point between two dimensions. We have to start to speak life over our body. Start to speak life, bless it, and we curse it. I mean, what I've missed it. I've got such low self-image, and I just focus on the negative, and it's too late. Well, I'll just say something. God, it's never too late to raise the dead. We saw that on Sunday. Now we got to go, this is a temple. And again, He's open for, if you want improvements to it, hello, you know? And so I believe that you know, a long time ago, people were bigger than us, and that's probably a gene pool thing. And so, you know, that you look, you know, I don't know. I remember once, I'm just telling you stuff. I remember I was looking at someone like this, and I go, I got a word of knowledge. And I went, oh gosh, this is, I don't know if I can. Who's ever had a word of knowledge and you feel really uncomfortable about giving it? Seriously. Like this. And I went, okay. There's someone here, and you really have been praying to be taller. Now, can you imagine how potentially insulting that is? It's like saying, Lord, show me you're praying to be good looking. What are you saying? Seriously. And I just, because there was glory in the room. and I saw them as a taller person. And I'm going, Lord, show me you want to be taller. Like that. He goes, afterwards, the person goes, yeah, I actually pray that a lot. And you're going, this is crazy. I don't know. Can we just allow to him who believes all things are possible? Can we do this? Seriously? Now, I'm going to finish just one anecdote and then one scripture to put a nice little bow on the end of it. Is that when I was in, Darren knows this story, you guys have heard this story at Infinitum, but we're on the edge of the Amazon jungle, we do a crusade, my first crusade in a few years, and I'm like doing a crusade, and I'm going, man, devil goes, you know, you're a joke, you're a fraud, you're this, like that, you know, maybe I am, you know, because we, youth is wasted on the young, and I got up the block and I go, Holy Spirit, you're the miracle worker. Help me. And I just engaged with the seer realm and I started seeing miracles and stuff. Then what happened is it came to the praying for miracles and we did see a lot of miracles. It was a great meeting. And then what happened is it just said, all right, we're going to do a big blanket glory deal. If you believe in God for something, you put your hand on that part of the body. So evidently there was this kid, he was quite short. And his mother goes, did you want God to do anything for you? And she goes, I'm really over being teased for being fat at school, right? Hey, she goes, well, you heard what the preacher said. So he puts his hand on his stomach and I'm like, I would have been maybe 75 meters away from him. I was a big crowd, thousands. Again, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for your glory, Lord. And I just started praying. And next thing he knows, this kid's freaking out. He feels the fire of God go through his body. They weighed it after he lost a quarter of his body weight instantly. A quarter of his body weight instantly. And it's on YouTube. And, oh gosh, 12 kilos on a short kid? Something like instantly. Like they're not sort of like, you know, I wore stretchy pants and I'm sucking in my stomach and let's do a testimony. We're talking, we've all thought it. And so we're talking like the kids, he's crying, he's on stage, the mum's freaking out, and they go to a church on Sunday and she, you know, he had to do his homework, she testified. All right? And it's a time where I baptized my iPhone and fully, full immersion, none of this sprinkling rubbish, right? And I did one of these cartwheels, like in a swimming pool in Bardley at the Hard Rock Cafe. My phone was dead. And I had replaced the phone, replaced the SIM. It wasn't backed up on the cloud. It was nothing, bubka, zero, zip, zilch. And the Lord said, call back your data, right? And I just, my faith was saying, eh. And I go, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just call back my data on my phone. And my data came back on my phone, all of it. I mean, probably missing a few photos. We're talking like, I don't know how many gigabytes of stuff. It was crazy. And this is what the Lord said to me. We're coming into an era where that boy supernaturally losing his body weight is going to be a type I want you to start to contend for. Creative miracles. Who's excited? And then the data, everything's data now. Everything's data. Everything. Anything could be harvested, manipulated, project. We're talking like full on. And so God is going to do data miracles. What do you think a bank balance is? Do you think a bank balance is piles of notes somewhere? Come on. Data miracles. If you do not take these injections, we will make you hungry. Data miracles. Serious. Read Revelation 13. And so this is now, can you feel the glory? Come on, Holy Ghost. Just the pads up a tiny bit, please, just a tiny bit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, don't put it up. I just want you guys to close your eyes. Jesus said in John 14, 23, he said, if you keep my word, if you meditate on my word, he said, me and my Father will make our temple with them in a manifest experiential way. If you change how you think, if you can get completely obsessed with the Bible, the Word of God, God in an experiential way will manifest in your temple. Holy Ghost. Wow. Okay, the love of God's in this room right now. Now, I'm really serious. I do not want anyone looking around. I don't want anyone looking around. Can we have the pads a little bit louder? A little bit louder. That's it. Perfect. Okay. Remember, perfect love casts out all fear. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just close your eyes. I want you to just relax in the presence of the Lord. Something's going to happen in a second. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I don't want anyone looking around. Holy Ghost. I just thank you. Thank you for your love in this place. I thank you for your redeeming power, the power of repentance, the power of making positive choices. Okay. So here's the deal. Something's going to break off of people in a second. We're going to pray a prayer corporately, right? But I do not want people walking around. I don't want people looking around. I just want to just do business with God. Just going to charge up the realm of the atmosphere right now with the Word of God. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your love for your people. I thank you in the volume of your book, it is written, a body I have prepared for you. A body I have prepared, an avatar I have prepared for you. Thank you, Lord, for these avatars. Thank you for the assignments and the mandates. But Lord, this, whoa, here we go, Holy Ghost. Wow. But there's been some lies, generational lies that, Holy Ghost, wow. There's just something starting to fall right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Wow. We're going to break off a lie. We're going to break off a lie. I want privacy to, I don't usually do it like this. Obviously, we're not going to call people in the front, but Holy Ghost, I just thank you. Now, there's something in the spirit that needs to be broken off. Okay. And this is what it is. This is what tonight, I didn't know it was going to go in this direction. But in a second, I'm going to get people to stand where there's been such a battle over their body that basically the enemy's lied to you so hectically, you've actually rejected your own body. You've rejected your own body, and what it's done is kept you out of the fullness of God. Now there's an anointing. Now there's, just give us a second. There's an anointing falling right now. It's actually breaking off the lie of you rejecting your body, that God's actually just ripped you off or something like that. Holy Ghost. This is what's going to happen. Now, at the moment, some of you are going, this is me. And there's a level of fear and pride. There's an argument going on in your head. But what's going to happen? Can we just put the pads up tiny bit louder, please? Tiny bit louder. Keep going. Yep. If it's round, it turns to the right. Keep going. That's it. Brilliant. There's an atmosphere of worship. Now, Lord, I thank you today. This is a place of safety and love. And I thank you right now. We're breaking off the lie. I'm gonna get everyone to pray this. But right now, if you are in a wrestle and you feel that the enemy has lied to you and you feel like you've rejected your body, you've rejected it, I want you to stand. With no one looking around, I want you to stand, especially, there we go. I want you to stand. Just keep your eyes closed and focus on the Lord. I want you to stand. Okay, this is what it's all about tonight, because he's this delivering spirit. Hallelujah. Put your hands to heaven, and can you please, if you're standing, just smile. Just smile, because we're going to come into an age where God is going to give upgrades to bodies, age reversal, miracles. The gate beautiful is going to be, you're going to be that gate. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Just if you're standing, just raise your hands to heaven. Just smile to the Lord, because the love of the Lord is in this place. The love of the Lord. He gave you that body. He's smiling, and he's actually doing a work right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Ghost. There we go. In Jesus' name, I just thank you, Lord. We just break off rejection and a lie. It's a lie in the name of Jesus. You know, it's a demon that is a rejecting demon. It's not you. It's a demon that lies. It tries to get you to think its thoughts. It's a devil. In Jesus' name, rejection, we just cast you out in the name of Jesus right now. In Jesus' name, get out, get out, get out, get out. And we just thank you right now. We thank you right now. There we go. Rejection gone. You're a lie. You are a loser and you are a liar. Get out in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, according to the Word of God, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I thank you. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank you, Holy Ghost. It's important. Don't be so serious. I want you to smile to the Lord, because that releases His love. He's not frowning at you like He's concerned. He's actually smiling at you. He's smiling at you. Just seriously. Just a few moments of smiling in His presence. You watch where you're getting touched by His love. That complete acceptance in the Beloved. It says you are accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in the Beloved. Hey, I'm going to believe for creative miracles, guys. Whether it's, I don't know, hair or weight loss or skin or internal organs, why don't we just go for this, hey? Why don't we just live in that place? But first, we have to realize our body does not belong to to us. It belongs to the Lord. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Thank you today. Lies are being broken. Lies are being broken. I thank you for people in their scrolls. I thank you for people walking out their mandates, even if they have to get pickled in the glory, pickled and preserved in the glory, pickled and preserved in the glory. There we go. Yeah, it's starting to fall. Pickled and preserved in the glory. Pickled and preserved in the glory. Pickled and preserved in the glory. Go in a cucumber, come out a dill. Hallelujah. Some, you're a double dill. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Pickled in the glory. Pickled in the glory. Pickled in the glory. We thank you. Those, it says, he will renew your youth like the eagles. Internal organs, digestive systems, respiratory systems, kidneys. Right now, I thank you right now. We pray for kidneys. People with kidney pain, not just kidney stones, but aching, dull kidneys, especially the right kidney right now in Jesus' name. That right kidney, I speak life into right now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I just speak life into that right kidney in the name of the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, rejection's been exposed. There's a wow, 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 wow. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Gosh, you're good, so good, Lord. You're so good. Hallelujah. Remember, faith is energized by love. If you can receive God's love, you can believe for any miracle. If you can receive God's love for you, it says love is faith is energized by love. Thank you for it says, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured, shed abroad in our hearts. Thank you, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Everyone with their eyes closed, I want you to repeat this after me. Really nice and loud. Dear Father, I love you because you first love me. I trust you. I am safe with you. I thank you for choosing me and giving me the gift of this body. I ask for forgiveness of believing a lie, of rejecting my appearance and my function. I reject a lying spirit, and I decree this body does not belong to me. It belongs to you. I give it back to you, and I thank you for it. Lord, you love my body, so I love my body. I am made in your image, and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I thank you right now that your glory will fill the temple. I thank you that your glory is filling this temple. I thank you, I thank you, this glory is filling the temple. I thank you that this glory is filling the temple. I thank you that this glory is filling the temple. For my body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for my body. I love you, Lord, and I thank you. Lord, because you love me, I love myself. Because you love me, I love myself. Because you love me, I love myself. There we go. Something's just shifting. Something's shifting. A demonic rubbish. Because the devil, those demons have been rejected. But you are not rejected. You are accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in the beloved. You're accepted in the beloved. And I just believe as we start to go on the journey of renewing our minds and living in worship, I believe we're going to see physical miracles. I think tonight is a significant night. Just unfolded. I didn't plan it to be this way. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to close the meeting in prayer because it's 9:45. Wow. Wow. The a lot of angelic activity in here. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you that the enemy is a liar. He's been exposed. And I thank you. I thank you. For those who are watching on live stream, you need to share this. You need to share this. There's so many people, it's this incredible torment over their bodies, but their body is a gift from God. If they start to celebrate and believe that it is the temple, God will start to refurbish it. He will refurbish it. It says, if it says in Romans, I think it's 8, I can't remember the verse. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, if he dwells in you, he'll also quicken your mortal bodies. That's mortal bodies. It's quickening. Lord, I just thank you as we close this meeting. I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you for scrolls. I thank you for books. I thank you for destiny doors. I thank you in the name and the blood of Jesus. I just thank you, Lord, for Jeanette's testimony of coming back from the dead. I thank you for many others to come. I thank you, Lord God, for the healing gate of the nation that your church is meant to apprehend. I thank you the function of the priests, the priesthood. So Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for everyone here, everyone listening, for the gift of God to give us this opportunity in this world. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. God's good, isn't he? Isn't he good? We're going to see such an exciting season because all seasons are voice activated, and that just went somewhere. I was like, I'm feel a bit spectator-ish. I would have liked there to be less sort of the state bureaucracy type deal and get a little bit more involved. Who felt really touched by the Lord? Seriously. Oh, that's many of you, most of you. Hallelujah. So God lives in you. So start to align your focus with that and start to see things change. So I think when Daryl was saying things moving on December the 1st, we're talking about restrictions being lifted. So just stay tuned in with that. Obviously, we have to register for our services. And what's the date today? It's the 24th. Close. And so, yeah, this is really cool. Because some of you guys, you're going to need an upgrade with what you have to do. But tonight, there's a major key in us getting an upgrade in our temples. Who's excited? We're not our own. And the Lord for the body and the body for the Lord. Okay.